Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic, Jack. Yourself?
Good. I could use some more money, though, Adam. I ran out.
You did. You know that happens a lot, Jack. When you're running a company.
Yeah, I heard that. I mean, I heard it and I've seen it through coaching a lot, but I never thought I'd be one of them. How did I run out of money? How can somebody run out of money?
That's what
I keep pounding my head against the wall, saying, how can I run out of money?
You know what? I can tell you're not telling the truth, Jack. Now I can tell the truth, or I can tell you're not telling the truth. Because you're smiling too much. Because people don't smile when they have that phrase that they're smiling. Hey, I'm out of money. Well, I guess if they've just given up, maybe they can. Oh, hey, we're out. We're done. Right? Cash is gone, guys. Have a good life.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm smiling. I can't pull the smile away.
Yeah.
How can you run out of money yet? Running out of money and sleeping under a bridge. How many times do we have to throw that example out to our clients here who get frozen with some issues, especially cash? Cash is huge, obviously. We gotta have cash.
It can make you go to dark places, Jack. Like you said, sleeping under bridges and cardboard boxes, right? So yeah, we gotta have those talks and discussions to see what's real, right? Yeah,
it's like shaking them and slapping them across the face a couple of times. Wake up, things aren't that bad. There's always remedies. There's always solutions. Just keep a calm, cool head. But yeah, in spite of that, people do run out of money.
They do. They do. And even if they don't, they worry about it, Jack. You know, it's one of those things that we've been focused on it for a while. We obviously know it's an important thing. It's key number six of our seven keys to success that we always coach on. But it's the one that tends to float. Right. And what I mean by that is it floats because if cash is not a problem, it's not at the top of mind. It's in the mind, but it's not necessarily top or the forefront of your mind. Now, if cash is like you were describing at the opening here, Jack, or hey, I'm out of money. Well, guess what? That's number one priority, number two priority, number three priority. It's all priority right now. Let's figure out how we get money into this place, right?
Right.
We got stuff to kind of do. And so it's one of those things that tends to float depending where it's at. But it's one of those things that never leaves the mind. No matter how long you're in business. And I recall years ago, we had a little company that we were getting going that was creating an app for this, to try to create an app to help forecast cash. And so as part of that process, we had to go present to some investors, potential investors, early stage investors, right? And the question they asked me, I still don't have an answer for, Jack. I still don't have an answer for. I was dumbfounded. I was rendered speechless, Jack, which, as you said numerous times, doesn't happen very much these days anymore. But the question they asked, there was a question that was asked by a suit and tie. Okay, so just to preface that, so you kind of know where it's coming from. But the question was, well, how do the owners know that they have a cash problem? They have this all figured out, don't they?
I remember that. I remember that very well.
And my mouth opened. What do you mean? You ignored everything we just talked about the last 10 minutes because you're assuming that this is not a problem. That this is not, you know, this is not something that people worry about. This is, you know, there's things that they have it all figured out. They have it all figured out. So I had some doubts, Jack. Okay. Little seeds of doubt. And I just so happened to see my dad, I think a day or two later. And I asked him because, you know, he'd been in business for 40 years at that point. And I said, Dad, I said, can you answer me a question? Was there ever a point in the 40 years that you didn't worry about cash? He started laughing. He goes, immediately. He's like, no, every day. He goes, well, I had too much, didn't have enough. It was always in there. It's still in there. He said, it's still there. Right.
Always will be. It's hard. You can't, it's impossible to deprogram that.
So I took a big exhale when he told me that, Jack. I said, okay, I'm not crazy again. You know, because again, we get those seeds of doubt sometimes, like, hey, you know, did we miss something here? Okay. No. Okay. It's there. So the question today is, okay, well, we know it's there. We know it's there for you. And it's a question of whether it's at the forefront top of your mind or it's maybe towards the back today, kind of where it's at. We know a year ago, Jack, when the pandemic hit, that was a big, you know, concern for many people. And obviously the CARES Act and the PPP stuff helped out, you know, helped out a ton with that to kind of get some cash into people's bank. And that was a good thing, right? And you could hear the collective sigh across the country, right? With people saying, I got money coming in now, right? Well, that was well and good, but the money is only temporary, right? Because eventually the money starts to run out again. So what we did with our clients, Jack, and with our current and past clients who know this stuff, is sort of forecast it out and say, okay, let's look at what this looks like now. Let's look at your next 90 days. And that's what we start to kind of focus on when we start to mention this, Jack, because we can't forecast, you know, years in advance. You can try that, but it's, you know, it's tremendous guesses. But what we're talking about here, what we focus on with our clients, is to be able to forecast the next 90 days to show positive cash. Now, let me say that again. That's what I said, because it's hard for people to kind of to have that sink in, right? Think about that for a second. Think about having a sheet that shows you a positive cash number for the next 3 months, the next 90 days.
Every day.
Every day's right. Positive, right? Okay. Can you picture that, right? It's almost like when we have discussions about taxes, Jack. We'll sit and ponder and go, okay, picture the world without you paying any taxes, right? We all sit back and we have great visions. We're smiling, right? Okay, now, same thing with cash. Try to imagine that. And for many people, Jack, we know they have never experienced that. They've never experienced maybe beyond a week or two, okay, of kind of having some comfort. They, you know, we're good for the next few weeks. It's rare that an owner of a small company has confidence that for the next 90 days, they will have positive cash. Now, it sounds too simple, Jack, right?
They just figure it out,
right? I mean, doesn't everybody have this? I mean, isn't this available? I mean, can't you do this with QuickBooks or some other accounting system? It's right there, isn't it?
It is. It's amazing, Adam. It's amazing how self-destructive some ideas or lack of ideas can be. And it doesn't have to be, you know, it just doesn't have to be. To run out of money, scramble to get emergency loans, drain your savings, do whatever you do. It doesn't have to be that. Sometimes through the, you know, just the natural ebb and flow of doing business. But you can and should be able to keep cash going with a viable business and never really be out of it with a couple of tools that should be made if they'd be prioritized by the owners. But they don't want to do that. Why don't they want to do it, Adam? I know owners of businesses want to put in that effort to have that hovering, smothering awareness of having cash for 90 days. What a great way to be, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you sleep better at night if you had that tool in your company? Of course you would. Never run out of cash.
I think it comes down to motivation a little bit. You know, as I was mentioning the pandemic that hit last year, Jack, part of what happened there is we've, you know, come to digest this a bit over the last year or so where, you know, there were a lot of changes that were forced that people have been thinking about for a while that they had actually do last year because of what happened with COVID-19. And I think that's often the same in normal business circumstances, Jack. You really need to be motivated to kind of focus on this. And as we know, because we when we deal with small companies, and again, as a reminder, folks, most of the companies we deal with are folks that are anywhere from 1 to 25 employees. We know, based on our experience, that most of those folks, the vast majority, 80-90% of them, are not running the company by the numbers. What I mean by that is they aren't looking at their financial statements. They aren't looking at their profit and loss and their balance sheet on a regular basis, regular being at least monthly, right? Now, the way they're running it often, Jack, is that they're focused on cash. And what we usually will see is, well, today with technology, they're able to log in to their bank accounts and see, hey, where do I stand, right? What's my balance this morning? What checks cleared or what payments cleared or what things kind of came in? So they're often checking that. That's a pretty common thing. I'd say the majority of folks are doing some version of that. So they're keeping an eye on the cash. And so, but it's eye on the cash today, right? Here's where it is today. And that's where the problems often kind of come up because what happens is it's, here I am on a Wednesday, Jack, and I'm looking around and going, hey, we got payroll due on Friday. And either I look and I notice that, hey, the money's not in the bank, or I maybe have my office manager or my bookkeeper that says, hey, boss, payroll's due in 2 days, and we don't have the funds to cover it, right? Just thought you should know. And then they go to lunch, right? Or whatever it's going to be, right? Just thought you should know.
Just another decision. Right. Another decision among the millions that happen every week, right?
Because right now, all you're doing is sitting around waiting for people to give you problems and fires to put out, right? So, hey, thanks for giving me that nice little fire to put out, right? So, now, we're not saying, Jack, that as you start to kind of put together a forecast, that you aren't going to see some days like that. That's part of the reason for doing the forecast, right?
Right.
So imagine instead of being on a Wednesday and getting a 2 day advance notice that you have money to cover payroll, imagine getting a 10 day, 30 day, 50 day advance warning to that. What kind of other options do you have if you have 10 days now instead of two, or you got 50 days instead of 10 or instead of two, right? You can go sell some more stuff. You can squeeze some people who owe you some money, you know, whether it be accounts receivable to maybe pay a little early. Maybe you can drag out some payments to people that you owe money to. Perhaps you do have some lines of credit that are available that you can draw upon, Jack, or maybe, you know, but all of a sudden you go from having maybe one or two options to maybe having 10 or 12 options, right? So you have time to kind of get this thing kind of planned out and to see, because again, it's just a forecast at that point, but you have several weeks to be adjusting, and you don't need to take whatever you were doing right the second when your bookkeeper tells you, oh, by the way, we have no money for payroll, you got to drop everything you're doing. You can, okay, you keep doing what you're doing, and you get to that later today or tomorrow, but it becomes part of.
Yeah, you're looking out, you see that week flow around the next payroll or two payrolls out, then you can do something about it. And it should be, as we coach our clients to have regular reviews of the financials. And one of those reviews would be certainly our cash position. Forecast it out. Hey, I see today is February, whatever it is, 24th. Excuse me. Okay, so it's February 24th. I see the third payroll from today in this little 90-day forecast looking kind of wobbly. I got something in front of me telling me what I have to do to shore that up. I don't have to panic. I can go out to lunch with everybody and we can keep talking about it, right? I have time. I have time to react. I have time to put things in place. And if it looks like it's a bigger problem as it's moving forward, now I got to make harder decisions, but I still have time to do that. So it lets the owner have a lot of credibility and comfort that basically, he's a guy. He's a, you know, the one that I can look to for the answers, because he'll probably provide them. But he's looking ahead because he's got a 90-day cash flow. How in the world can you run a small business without a 90-day cash flow? Well, you can, but look at all the bother it requires to do it any other way. Yeah. And it's a great simple tool, and you got. Yeah, you got a lot of help. You got a lot of apps out there now that can help this along. But, you know, we have a simple one that works very well for those who want to put it in.
Yeah, we use a simple spreadsheet. And we come back to a little bit of this. So picture, so Jack, you and I are visualizing this cash forecasting spreadsheet because we know what it looks like. And so as we're talking about it, so picture that we've got all the sources of money coming in and all the sources of money going out right there in front of you, right? So again, the answer to the question, if you have a hole, you know, whether it be a couple days out or a couple months out, is it going to be on that paper somewhere, right? Because again, if it's coming from cash in, it's often coming from customers, it's coming from sales, coming from the accounts receivable type stuff, right? What other areas do you get cash from? Okay, so again, like we gave the example last year, hey, there was an unusual circumstance, Jack, where all of a sudden the government was giving out money. Okay, that was found money that doesn't normally come, but okay, that's something that would get plugged into the other line, right? There's other cash sources. You might have, again, lines of credit. You might have some different things that you've got set up to do it, but again, there's a limited amount of ways you can bring money in, Jack, right? What's more, we have more flexibility often is on the money going outside of stuff, right? So, and we saw that too last year. Again, there were some unusual things that happened, Jack, like things that normally don't get delayed, like rent, for instance, okay? Rent payments often got delayed last year. And so that can often be a very big expense for many companies. But you have the rent things on there. You got all the accounts payable for all the folks that you know, for the vendors that you use. Probably have some credit cards. You got things like payroll. And what happens is the reason why people often aren't doing this, Jack, is that there often isn't a place to go to get this information. And so, like we talk about things like QuickBooks or the accounting softwares, Jack. And one of the things that we've found there, a couple of things. One is most people aren't using those things correctly, okay, in terms of putting all the information in. So we don't have, good visibility. But even if they have, a lot of good stuff in there, they're often still missing stuff. So if you were to go, and QuickBooks has a weekly cash forecasting tool. It shows 13 weeks cash forecasting. The problem is, though, it doesn't give you a good picture of what the heck's going on, because it doesn't include things like your payroll, all right? Chances are probably doesn't include your rent. Probably doesn't include any payments that you got to pay off some debts that are real cash numbers, right?
So if it's incomplete, what good is it? Doesn't have everything,
it's going to give you false hope or give you false depression, right? Or somewhere in between, right? You're going to be making decisions now, which I don't know. Is that better than making it from gut, Jack, to be using half complete information here? I don't know.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
So I think
you need it all to do it right. You need it all. You need everything. And so that's where people balk. They don't want to, have pay an administrator to basically track it like that. So they don't do it. And it's like so many decisions, there's a trade-off, right?
That's right.
If you want to sleep well, if you want to be able to manage your cash like nobody else at your size and level, you do these things and you stay on top of it and you sleep well and your credibility is high. It's so much better, like many good systems and fixes. Basically, they make doing business more effective. And this is the mother load here. Understand your cash flow. Is there isn't an excess amount of cash with many small businesses, that's for sure.
That's right. And I think, again, a couple of the big reasons why people don't do this stuff, Jack, is the first thing is that people aren't necessarily running by the numbers. They aren't necessarily looking at their company that way. And they don't
You're right. You're right, Adam. That's right.
Even if they are, okay, even the there are ones that are doing a pretty good job with that. Again, it comes back to the tools aren't there. I'm going into my QuickBooks and that's how I use for my stuff. And hey, it's not giving me the full picture, right? And so it becomes frustrating. So it has to become to the point where there has to be a significant motivation. And so we've seen that, Jack. We've seen that with a number of clients over the years. But one stands out early on was a transition that we had where the owner passed away and the kids took over and the company was struggling before the owner had passed away. And the kids were involved in the business. And they had a sense for it, but they didn't really know all the details because it wasn't necessarily kind of put out there. And so it wasn't until the kids gotten the owner's chair that they became aware of this and they were freaking out. Said, okay, well, hey, we have a bunch of people we owe money to. How are we going to do that? And so where we always start, Jack, is we talk about being in a hole like that. You're in that big hole. And the first thing you got to do is you got to stop digging when you're in the hole, right? Because if we're in a hole, we keep digging, we just keep going further in the hole. So what I mean by that in terms of business standpoint, it means if we're losing money, we got to stop losing money. All right. I don't care what's happened, what hasn't happened. But if you can't show a way that we're going to be able to make money, then what the hell are we doing? We're digging further in that hole. And
that's right. You got to, well, go on.
Well, too many folks keep doing that, Jack. And just be able to identify the fact that's part of the discussion we had last year. If you go back to listen to any of our shows from probably last April, May, or June, you probably heard us mention that a bunch of times, Jack, which is you got to show how you're making money. And if we look at a 90 days or if we look at a week, how are you making money this week, this month? And if you can't show that, well, Jack, how are you going to show how you're going to make money 6 months from now or 2 years from now if you can't show how you aren't going to make it that far, right? So we have to get them very quickly to understand how we doing and can we show it? And we were able to do that with all of our clients last year to say, here's ways we can adjust and modify. We can adjust our cost structure. We can adjust what we're charging in order to make sure that we're making profits, which turn into cash, which is the money we're talking about, right? So it starts with that to be able to make sure, hey, let's show that we can make money. Now, if we can show that we're making money and so we aren't digging, okay, we aren't digging further in the hole, that means we can start filling up the hole. Okay, all right. So we start to gain some confidence with that. And so with this particular client, Jack, I remember it was a very snowy February Saturday morning. There was about 8 inches of snow that came down that day, which is quite a bit. But we were holed up for about 3 hours at a Panera, going through this spreadsheet in tremendous detail, with eyes bleeding. Right? I mean, as many of you are probably listening, thinking about financials and numbers and spreadsheets. Oh, it's nails on a chalkboard. My eyes are glazing over. Well, guess what? You're trying to keep your company alive and get things going and get it going in the right direction. You're going to push through whatever you need to do to make sure that's going to happen. And that's where, you know, it can often take that kind of need. I think a lot of folks may have gone through that last year, Jack.
I believe it, Adam. I believe it.
And so it's never too late to start to kind of do something like this, but you got to start to pay attention to it and kind of know how to do it and to have the simple things that are there that make sure you're seeing accurate stuff, or at least as accurate as you can see. So as you're making decisions, you're making them relatively informed versus just doing it by your gut.
Well, if you don't run the company by the numbers, and so many small businesses don't, and they don't because they don't know how to use the reports, and they don't know how to put often in perspective the reason for it. So they don't use them. And you don't self-teach yourself accounting. It's pretty tough to just do it 100% by yourself. You know, you need to commit to understand the nuances of it and understand what the key reports are and why and how powerful they can be once you learn them. So that's where people get themselves in trouble, by not running or to try to fabricate their own system of accounting, which gets all botched up, and that kind of deflates them, so they throw it aside. It's a commitment to have the numbers, to have the numbers that show profit and loss, and to show spending basically, and have a cash flow report that gives you 90 days peace and comfort and understand how and why it's important. Without that, you're going to have and continue to have small business owners who don't understand why they ran out of cash. That's how we started talking about all this stuff today. So, yes.
But it's when it's done and it's done well, it's the report that can provide the most comfort. It's the one you want to put underneath your pillow at night, Jack, to help you sleep better. Because you know you got the cash, or you know you've got plans to fix holes, plug holes in the cash that are coming. And because it's so hard, because what most folks are doing, Jack, we're saying that they'll be logging in the morning to see where their cash balance is today. And then they're trying to remember all the stuff that they have coming in or that they have going out, right? And it's so hard. There's so many things going on in your business. How do you keep track of all that stuff?
Yeah, you can't. You need a proven system.
That's it.
Just the variables are overwhelming. That's right.
But if it's something that you're struggling with, whether you're struggling with this thing before the pandemic, you're struggling with it during the pandemic, or as we're getting out of this pandemic, if you're struggling with it still, our starting point, again, when we start with clients who are struggling like that, the first place we go, Jack, is to go to the cash forecast, because we got to figure out, how are we making money here? Because if we aren't making money, what are we doing? If you aren't making money and you're losing money, Jack, that's a going out of business curve, right?
That's exactly right. It's a very easy curve to see.
Yeah, and once you get on it, it can get very comfortable. You know, it's like being a little slide, kind of go right down. And you have to be able to fight your way out of that. And too many folks we see, it's like somebody, you know, is going to kill themselves, and they do it with the turning the car engine on and sitting in the garage, right, and just kind of go to sleep, right? It's kind of peaceful, right? That's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
That's a good analogy.
That's kind of what you're doing. You're sticking you're putting the garage door down in your company and just, okay, let's kind of let it go. Okay, well, shit. There's different ways to do it, Jack. I mean, you can do it much quicker. Hey, before you lose more money, let's cut the losses now. Right? I mean, at the end of the day, you're doing something more positive, something that you're more excited about. Because it's so hard to close a company down, as we've seen, Jack. And people on the outside who have never been involved in small business and never owned a business before probably can't understand it, can't understand the emotional connection to it. I mean, if you have kids, that's probably the best analogy that we can make, Jack, because often the business feels like your kid at times, and there's those emotional attachments to it. There's those those illogical responses and things that you do for your business, much like you do for your kids, that you can't necessarily explain. And so people will, you know, it's amazing, you know, when you try to kill a company, Jack, it's very hard to do. And so and one of the best ways we know to revive it is to start to do something like this. And, you know, you haven't mentioned it today at all, Jack, but, you know, the five turnarounds that you bought, right? You know, so for those of you who are new to the show, Jack had a run over about a 10-year period where he bought five different companies that were in trouble, that were losing money, and got them fixed up and sold them. Got them making money and sold them, right? And you describe the, you know, what we now have as a spreadsheet, Jack, but you describe it as a, you know, almost in picturing those old accounting ledgers, those big books, but a big piece of paper, literally manually on a piece of paper, right?
That's right.
A forecast. That's the genesis of this stuff. This is not. Hey, we went and read an interesting book about this. This is coming straight out of. Hey, what do I do? I'm in a company that's losing money. What do I do? Well, you start forecasting the cash, right?
That's right. Forecasting's everything with success. I mean, you forecast in a lot of different ways, but nonetheless, a forward-looking company is going to generally be successful. So you got to do that. Anyways, running out of money.
That's how you know that you won't run out of money. That's what this cash answers that question. It's using this cash flow forecasting. That's how you know if I'm going to run out or not run out of money. You can see it right there, right there in black and white, or red and green, whatever colors you want to use. You can get as colorful as you want, right? But the idea being, hey, you know, it's going to show you what's going on. And more importantly, it shows you what you can do. What options do I have, right? Because especially as you get more stressed like that too, Jack, your memory doesn't work as well, right? So you're not going to remember all the details about who you owed what to, or what happened where, or, you know, or who.
Things move too fast to be able to think you're going to track those things and keep them in your head. They're in your head, but they're in your head in such a way that they're useless.
Well, one of the things people are often astounded by, Jack, when you share your story, especially of buying companies, and especially the first one with Cleveland Armature. The first thing they were amazed by was envelopes of cash you found, but very close second to that was you found about $50,000 in accounts receivable that you were able to recreate. Right. And it's like, okay, well, wait a minute. Was it just that company? Was it just Cleveland Armature that was creating problems that didn't bill out or didn't collect money that was owed to them? Or do you think other companies had that same problem, right?
Oh, they, in small companies that, you know, are heading out of business, there's always opportunities like that. There's always found assets. Because I think in the final moments before a company tanks like that, little company, there's lots of poor decisions or non-decisions made. And those non-decisions basically will involve assets that get underutilized or forgotten about because there's so much panic being, panic thinking being in place. And people who come from the outside don't understand the value of a lot of that equipment. They can't, you know, they can't comprehend it. So there's always nuggets. There's always found treasures with little crummy companies that are running out of business. And they aren't crummy. They're crummy because the owners just got overwhelmed.
Right. They're being run crummily. That's a word. I like crummily. That word. Crummy. That's a good word. Reminds me of Sesame Street. That's a good thing.
That's right.
And the Cookie Monster, right? Okay. But yeah, so it doesn't have to be that way. Again, or if you're going to choose to put the company out of business, you can do that too, but you can at least see what it looks like versus letting it kind of, you know, die that slow, painful death. Let's make a decision about it. Let's get into a new business, right? In terms of let's reallocate those resources somewhere else if what you're currently doing is not working. But let's not pretend. Let's not put our heads in the sand and pretend and wait. Again, let's not close the garage door on the car, right? It's got to make sure we know what we're doing here, you know?
That's right.
So that's how it works. We've seen it numerous times, folks. And again, if you're in that situation, it's a cash forecast. For those of you who've been through it before, you can appreciate that. And you probably look back at those times. Maybe it was, you know, something happened 10 years ago to you. And you probably look back and say, hey, yeah, we were focused on that cash forecast. It was a big deal. And it's still there in our mind. Maybe we aren't as diligent about it today as we were back then because it's not as stressful right now. But knowing that you can pull that trigger anytime and go back to it, that's tremendous power to kind of know What am I doing? What's going on? And I think to your point, Jack, to keep things as a forward looking company, keep looking ahead, because what's done is done, right? I can't do anything about it.
Right. Right.
The question is, what do I do to kind of bring it forward? How do I kind of react to it? And part of the fun too, which we didn't touch on, we can kind of leave this as a teaser for the end of the show here, Jack, but you know, one of the great things this is used for too, is to help you negotiate. Right. Because if you owe people some money and you've been making all kinds of promises that you've been breaking over the years, well, this helps you make promises you can keep. And if you keep your promises, all of a sudden you can negotiate better. Because if you owe somebody 10 grand and you've been, you know, telling them you're gonna pay them for a while and you don't pay them, well, hey, if I can offer them 5 grand to go away, they'll probably take that 5 grand if you give it to them, right? So there's lots of ways this can be used. You can have a lot of fun, and it can be tremendously energizing for your business, Jack. So it's a great tool from that standpoint. So that's how we can make sure that we don't run out of money, right?
That's right. Some of the ways, and there's a lot of tools. We have what we feel is a very, very good user-friendly tool. And use those because they work.
That's right. All right. So that's our show for today. We appreciate you guys being part of it and listening. And if you missed any of our prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. We also have a Facebook page by the same name. You can get them there. Better yet, if you have a smart device and you can go to whatever podcast player you use, whether it be Apple Podcasts or iHeart or Spotify, and subscribe to it, and it should be delivered right to your smart device. We usually drop a new show every Thursday. So it's right there for you. If you have questions or thoughts you want to participate, you can email us at radio@maximumvp.com. You can give us a call, 877-849-0670. Next week, we're going to talk about some fun family stuff, Jack. And this is one of your favorite topics, I know, Jack, which is we're going to give some insight into why you should hire your family last instead of first.
Oh, that's almost the top of my list, Adam.
And that's unfortunately, Jack, it's often goes the other way. And we'll talk about next week in terms of why we've come to that conclusion after many decades of being involved with small family businesses in terms of why that's the case. So make sure you tune in next week to kind of hear that as well. But that's what we got for it. It's been a great week. And appreciate you listening to the show, and we'll be talking with you next week.
Bye-bye.